Good evening.
Shalom
Tov.
Shalom Tov.
We'll start in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoach. Ana Gedula Yemincha Tati Tera Alephet Gimel Yutav Tzadik Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamrein Nun Gimel Dalet Yudkash Shin Varchem Taharem Rakame Sikatcha Tamid Gamlen Betet Resh Tzaditav Gimel Hasim Kadosh Berov Tuka Nael Adata Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Pene Zohre Kedushatah Yud Gimel Lamed Pezayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufal Tadiyutah. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yoheh Waheh, Adonai Yoheh Waheh, El Rahum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav chesed v'emet, Nose chesed la'alafim, Nose awon wafesha, V'chata'a v'nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud, and then we'll read Pasuk 29 from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. From Parashah Yitro. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Urchimu Tchilu Tchilu Urchimu V'yachta L'shem Yud Hei B'vav Hei V'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasot Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Hirtane Nan Dekucha Barichu Koma Deaved Le'ela Witata Kola Yihu Kishot Beovada Kishot Belayt lach mila bialma bivaye barnash bedach yaleya mineya ulan haga beya kalana dehaku uvada bishot inun wikolai tzirich Be all mine. The energy of the year 5774 was peace, is peace in the Middle East.
Malka.
There is only one verse that connects to this energy of peace in the Middle East in the Tanakh, and that is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael umtati wishakam tahtav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'ash ka'asher barishona. Will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing a tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wa yo la yo sa yo te ala me me he shi la la he a ka he ta he za yo ala da. La awa he he a yozala me be he he re yo he ko me la awa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nu ta he he a yo re ta shi a he. Re yo yo awa me la ka be wa shi re. Wio he wa la he he ka wa ko me du da. Anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za. He 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he. Sa a la re yo a shi la me yo he. Wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me tsa re wa me be yo he he a nu wa pe me he yo ta me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa. Re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a. Yo cha la me re he, he yo yo me he me me. La wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la. Nu me ha yo he yo, me nu he 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 wa. Nu yo te he he shi a yo re la ta shi a me. Shi a me, shi a he, re la yo a wa me, la yo be wa he re. Yo yo wa la he he ta a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la a re yo a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me. Nu he a nu a ta me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he a la a wa me za yo. Da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the 19th day of Adar, Rabbi David of Dinov, Rabbi Meir Yechiel Halstock, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Rabbi Yehuda Greenwald, Rabbi Shmuel Engel, Rabbi Yitzhak Kalish, Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Yaffen. We will now connect to the Ani meditation, which you will find is the last link on the Unique Astrological Times page. We'll start at the bottom of the first page with Malchut. Yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey. Yo aheni wa yo hey, Yesod, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu, Od, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu, Netzach, ye ahini wu yo hi. Ye ahini we yohi, ye ahini we yohi. Tiferet, yo ahoni wo yoho, yo ahoni wo yoho, yo ahoni wo yoho. Gevura, ye ah, ni we yoh, ye ah, ni we yoh, ye ah, ni we yoh. Chesed, yeah, ahini way your hair, yeah, ahini way your hair, yeah, ahini way your hair. Dina, yeah, ahini way your hair, yeah, ahini way your hair, yeah, ahini way your hair. Achma, yeah, ahani way your hair, yeah, ahani way your hair. Ya ahani wa yoha. Keter. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. We're now going to say the Shema Yisrael, the first two lines, which will include a Baruch Shem, which grounds the energy. Please close your eyes or cover your eyes and lean slightly to the left. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And now we're going to say El Hashem Yehud and connect to the Esther Dibrot. You'll find the Esther Dibrot on the Unique Astrological Times handout page, landing page. It's about an inch down from the top. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte B'tchilu Erchimut Chilut Chilu Erchimut L'yachta L'shem Yud Hei B'lav Hei Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael L'imut Torah Mitzvah L'asot Torah Mitzvah V'ayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Tonenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Tonenehu Vayadaber Elohim et hakol hadivarim ha'ele lemor Anochi Hashem Elohecha Asher Hoseiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeit Avadim Lo Yihye Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai Lo Ta'aseh Lecha Pesel V'kol Temunah Asher Bashamayim Mima'al V'asher Baretz Mitachat V'asher Bamayim Mitachat La'aretz Lo Tishtachaveh Lachem V'lo Ta'avdem Ki Anochi Hashem Elohecha Elkanah Poked Awon Avot Al Banim Al Shileishim We are Rebeim L'shonai V'yoseh Chesed La'alafim Le'ohavai U'shomrei Mitzvotai Lo Tisa Et Shem Hashem Elohecha L'shala Hashav Ki Lo Yenake Hashem Et Asher Yisa Et Shemo Lashav Zachor Et Yom Hashabbat L'kadsho Sheshet Yamim Tavod V'asita Kom Melachtecha V'yom HaShvi'i Shabbat L'Hashem Elohecha Lo Ta'aseh Kom Melacha Ata Uvincha Uvitecha Avdecha V'yamatcha Uvhem techa vegercha asher bisharecha ki sheshet yamin asadon hashem et hashamayim v'et haaretz et hayam v'et kol asher bam v'yanach v'yom hashvi'i al kein Berach Hashem, Ed Yom HaShabbat, Vayikad Shehu, Kabed Et Avicha, Ve'et Imecha, Leman Ya'ar Chun, Yamecha Al Ha'adama, Asher Hashem Elohecha, Noten Lach, Lo Tirtzach, Lo tina, lo tigno, lo tane bereacha, eid shaker, lo tachmod beit reecha, lo tachmod eshet reecha, v'avdo v'amato, v'shoro v'chamoro, V'kol asher l'reecha. And now we will say the abridged Kaddish as an elevator to elevate us to the level of our class for tonight. Yid gadal v'yid kadash shemei rabah, and we all say amen. V'yomadi rak yirute v'yam lich malchute b'chayecho n'liyomecho n'lichaye d'kol beit Yisrael v'agalav v'zman kariv v'itbarach v'ishtabach v'itbar v'itromam v'itnase v'itadar v'itale v'italal shemeda kutsha Le'elamin kol birkata v'shirata tushpechata v'nechemata de'amiran Alma Yeshlama Rabba Min Shamaya V'chaim Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael V'imru Amen. O se shalom bimromahu yase shalom aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. Our class tonight is the Parasha Vayakel. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. The first row, the right-hand column, will give you a landing page with the list of all of the parashas. Scroll down to the parasha of Vayakel. It's the second link above the Sefer Vayikra. When that opens up, scroll down to section 6. Where we will start with Pasuk 74. Does anyone have any questions before we begin?
I came in late. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah, I came in late. So can you just give me an idea of what we're doing?
It's a Zohar class for the Parasha of Vayakel, the Parasha that we will read next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. The first row, the right-hand column, gives you a list of all of the parashas. Scroll down to Parasha Vayakel, and then when that opens up, click on section 6. We're starting with Pasuk 74. We've already said our L'shem Yehud. Patach Rabbi Abawi Amar Vayomer Hashem Ladag Vigomer V'ki Be'an Atar Amar Le'ya Ela b'shata divaraku shabrichu alma be'ovada b'reshit b'yom ha'chamisha baranu ne'yama k'den pakid v'yamar t'he'zamin chadnu na Mivla Leona, the Yehab Mayo, the Mayo Tilata, Omi Nutlat, Leila Van Ulvatar, the year Melea Lavar. The translation. Rabbi Abba opened the discussion and said, Hashem spoke to the fish. And he asks, and where did he speak to the fish? And answers, when the Holy One, blessed be He, created the world, He created on the fifth day the fish of the sea. Then He commanded and said that in the future, there will be a fish that would swallow Jonah. Keep him in its bowels for 3 days and 3 nights, and then vomit him out. My commentary. The pasuk is clear as written. Hashem spoke to all fish souls, and especially said, I create you, providing one of you will deal with Jonah. Now, What I didn't write was a question that the students of Kabbalah, it should occur to the students of Kabbalah to ask. And that's, what does the Book of Yonah have to do with the Parasha of Lech Lecha? Pasuk 75. I'll also, before I start 75, remind people that it's good to ask questions. And it's good to ask questions at any time in the class. There are people who think that it's best to wait till the end, and that's a good idea if, and only if, you write down the questions so you don't forget them. Pasuk 75. Wela da bilchodo ela koma de avad kucha brichu bil vada divreshit vikola a rin atne. Ime abioma kadma avara shemaya at atne im hom diasalik the Eliyahu ashamaima the goy sara the kain hawa. Diktivaya Eliyahu Basara Hashamayim Behahu Yoma Bara Nehora Viatne Imeya Viachshich Lishimsha Vemitzrayim Telata Yomin diktiv vayehi choshech afela bekol eretz Mitzrayim shaloshet yamin. The translation. And not only that, but to everything that the Holy One, blessed be He, created at the time of the creation, he added certain stipulations. On the first day, he created the heavens and stipulated that they would raise Elijah up by a storm of wind. And so it happened, as it is written. And Elijah went up by a storm of wind into heaven. On that day, he created the light and stipulated that the sun will darken in Egypt for 3 days, as it is written. And there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. My commentary is that the pasuk is clear as written. It's discussing these different conditions that were established within the creation process. Pasuk 76. Biyoma chantin yana virarakiya dihe mafrish bain maya Lemaya Kedikti Vayomer Elohim Yehi Rakia Betochamayim Vayhi Bavil Ben Mayim Lamayim Fiat Neim Hon Kuchabrihu Lemaya Yehon Mafrishin The Israel Bain Tuma, the Tahara Le Itaka, the Hu the Kachava. On the second day, he created the firmament to divide water from water. It was written, and Elohim said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide water from water. The Holy One, blessed be He, stipulated that the water will divide between defilement and purity, so that Israel might be purified by them. And so it was. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written. The stipulation relates to the concept of a mikvah. Pasuk 77. Peyo matalita apik ara migoy maya viaknish le maya leavat mehahu kanishu deit kanashu le atar had yama viate piyama le mebar. The Israel begaveya, via beshta, umitva, the Mitzrae vikahawa, diti viashav, hayam lifnot, bo kerle etano, altigre le etano, elalit. Nav lam lemadi atni imeyaku shabrihu beovadati breshit tu atne piara letiv tahiat umaa bemachlish kota dekorach vitivla. The Korach u'kol k'nisha teya. The kach mhava diktiv v'tiftach haaretz et piha v'tivla otam v'et Korach. On the third day, he brought out earth out of the water and collected the water into one place, to wit the sea. He stipulated that with the sea that it would let Israel pass in it on dry land and drown the Egyptians. And so it was, as it is written. And the sea returned to its strength. The Hebrew word is le'etano. The word le'etano, by transposition of letters, transforms and becomes lidnao, to its condition, to what the Holy One, blessed be He, stipulated with it at the time of the creation. He also stipulated that the dry land would open its mouth at the time of the rebellion of Korach and swallow Korach and his entire community. And so it was, as is written. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and Korach. My commentary. Again, this pasuk is clear as written. Yet the question can be asked, why we need multiple pasukim to describe these conditions? Pasuk 78. Biomar via barashimsha, the siharadikiv, yehimeorok, birkia hashamai, biadne im shimsha, lemeheve kaim, the galgo shemaya, biome de Yehoshua. Diktiviyamod hashet shemesh bachatzi hashamayim atne b'kokalaya lemeh Kara Vabisra Diti Hakochavin Min Silotam Milchamu Im Sisra. The translation. On the fourth day he created the sun and moon, as it is written, let there be lights in the firmaments of heaven, and stipulated that with the sun that it will stand on the zenith in the days of Joshua, as it is written, so the sun stood still in the middle of the sky. He stipulated with the stars that they would fight Sisra, as is written, the stars in their courses fought against Sisra. My commentary. Again, this pasuk is clear as written. There are many questions that can be asked about each condition. One example, why is it necessary for the stars to fight Sisra? Pasuk 79. Yoma Hamisha Baranu Neyama Biofe Dishmaya Atne Biofe Lemezan Orvim Leeliyahu Zimna Teatzar Lishmaya Diktiv Et Haorvim Tziviti Lekalkalacha Sham Tziviti Daika Yat Ne Benu Ne Amale Isdam Na Nu Nahad Lamibla Le Aliona Uashta Le Alevar. The translation. On the fifth day, he created the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky. He stipulated with the birds that the ravens would feed Elijah, as is written, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Commanded precisely at the works of creation. Also, he stipulated with the fish that one fish would come and swallow Jonah and then vomit him out. My commentary. Without Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Pasuk 80. Yoma shetita bara li adam v'yat ne'imeya letipo Nineya ita betetezum le Eliyahu Diti vine tzaviti shamisha Almana lekal kelecha Hine tzaviti miyoma Vitzbere alma Vekein bekol Ovada, the Ovada, the Eid Hadesh, the Alma Kuchabrihu, Bakid, Ahu Ovada, me Oma, the Eid Bere, Alma Ufaka, Vayomer Hashem, Ladag Vayomer Bishit. Yomin divreshit ba'amarleya. The translation. On the sixth day he created Adam and stipulated with him that a certain woman would descend from him and sustain Elijah. As it is written, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. I have commanded, namely at the time of the creation of the world. In the same manner, Hashem spoke to the fish, spoke on the 6 days of creation. My commentary. Why is it necessary to speak to each condition on the day of its creation? It's the end of the section. Does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow morning, we have a class going deeper into the concepts of the half-shekel donation. At 3 o'clock, we'll continue with our advanced reincarnation classes. And on Monday, we return to our normal schedule of a deep Zohar class at 4:30 and of the writings of the Ari at 7 o'clock. Are there any questions?
Yes, I had a question. I just didn't unmute fast enough.
No problem.
Like
I do the announcements while I'm reading.
Okay, whenever Hashem created anything, it seems he tells that creation its purpose. Is that what it's trying to tell us?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know. I have thoughts, but are my thoughts the answer? Look within yourself to find answers.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, Hashem creates everything for a purpose. And on the other side of that statement is everything that is in that is created at one time or another will need to go against its purpose. To go against its nature, go against its inner essence. This is what binding by striking is all about. The human being is a reactive being. Satan is a reactive being. The human being has the ability through its free will to go against its nature. Everything that is created has an inner essence, a soul. That soul has its purpose. That soul has its essence. And everything that is created at one time in the process of the world's process, in the overall process, that being, that essence, that individual creation will need to go against its nature. Something that is very difficult, something that is miraculous. And does that the meaning of what a condition is? Why are they choosing to use this word, etano, to explain condition? We'd have to look at the letters. We'd have to understand the meaning of the word condition. Is it using the example from the first pasuk? In the book of Jonah, the story of Jonah, are fish created only on the condition that they agree that one of their members, one of their species, will go against its nature and allow itself to die and then allow itself to be resurrected and then allow itself to spit Yonah out, to vomit Yonah out? Was that the condition that fish were created? And if they hadn't agreed, would they not be created? These are speculations. These are questions that have to be answered by each individual in its own process of meditation. There's no logical answer to these questions. The fact that the questions are asked reveals the answer, because the question is being motivated by the answer wanting to be revealed. But is the answer to the question that Hannah asked and the answer that I am giving, the answer to her question or the answer to my question? Because I've obviously asked that same question in my comments or similar enough questions. So is my answer for my question that that's the answer that wanted to be revealed, but Hannah has her own answer, and maybe it's a different one?
The hardest one for me to relate to was this idea that the stars were meant to fight Sisera. I can't make a connection here. I could see fish to swallow in Jonah. I could see, you know, the relation to the others. But the stars in Sisera, I don't get it. I don't see a connection.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
You know, first off, you have to know the story in the Book of Prophets.
Right.
Sisera. Who Sisera was and what was the battle about, and that the star and the Tanakh says that Sisera, the stars fought against Sisera. But the hint I'm going to give you is what are the souls of the stars? They are the human beings that lived at the time of what's the Atlantis, and the time of the island nation in the Pacific. I forget its name, but those two nation states fought with each other, contested with each other for world domination. But in the process of their history, which we are taught through the Midrash, consists of the 974 generations, there were some human beings who completed their tikkun. Not just their tikkun for that lifetime or that 7,000-year period, but their complete tikkun. And they were given a star and its planets to be their playthings. Not playthings in the sense of games, not a plaything in the sense, but a place for them to be a god. The stars fought against Sisera. Were those the lessons? And does that complete their tikkun? These questions I'm asking, we have to study the concepts of the UFOs. We have to study about the grays and the blues. And all of those things that we haven't heard in the mainstream news media for many, many years. During the 70s and 80s, there was discussion about people being abducted by UFOs and all of that extreme theories. But all of that is in the Torah. If you go to chapter 6, of Genesis, it brings all of this to the fore. questions I've asked are hints, but each person has to evaluate them for themselves. I have been hesitant to do a series of classes on the UFOs in the Tanakh. They're spread, the whole stories of them are spread throughout the Tanakh. They're not used, the terms of UFOs, but as the Zohar I believe it's in the Parasha of Pekudei, describes the same creatures that were described in mainstream media in the 70s and 80s. The blues, the grays, the abductions, all of that has been around since the time of the Torah. I hope my hints are helpful to you.
It might be time because I'm seeing more about the Nephilim. I'm seeing about reptilians. So these things are starting to come out again.
They are. Mm-hmm. But the reptilian is related to the Sefer Yetzirah classes because those are the Tali.
But
and the Nephilim...
is they're coming out on YouTube because it's popping up on my phone. I don't necessarily, you know, I don't have time to go through them, but I see the topics.
And I agree with you. I see them also. The question is YouTube mainstream yet? That's a joke.
Well, I know the last show of X-Files is still on my recording. I haven't been able to let it go. I don't know why. And we're getting ready to have to get a new box because this particular box, they're going to be out in 6 months. And we were told that the next box would be voice activation. It was going to be much better. But, of course, when you get the new box, you turn in the old box, and there go all the things that you've recorded. So I've kept it all this time, so I'll have to watch it again, because evidently there's something on there that I'm supposed to see.
I understand.
Yeah. You know.
One of these are last questions. And I'm sorry that the answers are not clear. Yes, Malka.
In listening to this teaching, my mind goes to like chicken and the egg, which is first. And this goes back to like that the condition has to happen for creation to be brought forth. So, which was first, the condition. It's kind of like a script, I guess. The thought pattern is there about a storyline. And then the storyline is written as a script. And then the next thing, you're waiting for the characters to arrive on the scene for the movie to be played. So my thoughts went to, okay, the condition had to happen so creation could be formed to, like you say, go against its nature. So I was like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with that thought.
It's very good. There's no real question to me. It's a thought that you needed to express, and I'm glad you did. If you'd like to formulate a question, I will try and answer it. But if you just need to contemplate what you said.
Well, I guess my question is that Hashem each day created been manifested in our world, the condition. So my question is, did he make creation because of the conditions, or did he make creations to
manifest? I understand your question and your thoughts. We have been taught that creation serves a purpose of removing bread of shame. You ask the question, is it the chicken or the egg, which comes first? The Kabbalah is the only teaching that I know of that answers that question. In the Kabbalah, it is the egg that comes first, because the egg is the Keter. And the Keter has all of the other nine Sephirot within it. But if you start with the creation, with the end goal, with the Malchut, the last Sephirah, it has nothing of its own. It requires fulfillment from the nine previous Sephirot. Whereas the Keter has its fulfillment. The Keter is the potential. It exists. It does not need to manifest except for the creations. The creations needed to manifest, because how can they know that it will manifest that way? Hashem can do anything. There's no limitation. So Hashem could have created all of these things without the conditions. He could have created a miracle that said the sea will split when the Israelis needed to cross it. Why is it put as a condition within the creation? Because he did not want to show, he did not want to show his miracle so overtly that it was outside of the of natural law. Going against your nature, isn't that outside of natural law? One of the examples when I'm teaching binding by striking, one of the examples is to discuss how a tank of water sitting in the sun does not heat up. The water in the tank does not heat up. But if you put a mirror that reflects the light of the sun onto the tank, the water in the tank will heat up. Essentially, the concept of pushing back, the concept of binding by striking. The light of the sun has to strike the mirror reflects, meaning push back, onto the tank, and that is the only way that the energy is transferred. There's some degree of transference, because when the light of the sun hits our atmosphere, we have those barriers, the Van Allen belts and various other techniques of the atmosphere that reflect that light out into space. Because if the light of the sun would put its full energy into the earth would become molten. But all of these things I'm saying to you relate to your question, but yet truly don't answer your question in a clear way. And that's done on purpose. It's done to motivate you to contemplate, to look inside yourself, to find the answers for yourself. Which comes first? It's always the Keter. It's always the egg. But you can't have an egg without a chicken. The paradox. Where did the egg come from if it didn't come from a chicken? So I'm now keeping everyone up because they're going to be contemplating this all night long. Any other questions?
Well, does the egg develop as it goes through the sephirot to get to malchut? And then it's the chicken?
In 10 luminous emanation classes, we discuss how the fruit of a tree, which is now going to become the seed of the next tree, how the fruit of the tree cannot just fall to the ground and grow. It has to return to the Keter so that it can find its way to the inside the earth, so it can take the seed within the fruit out of the fruit and be planted in the ground. Then it will grow. If you let the fruit drop on the ground, it just rots. It does not plant another tree. It doesn't grow another tree. So how do we get back to the Keter? In that discussion, and it's explained that the atmosphere, the surrounding light, is the Keter. And by the process of falling through the atmosphere, it returns to the Keter. It reinvigorates itself with what is its mission. And then it finds its way into the ground.
And yet it allowed that to happen, and sometimes it does not grow.
On farms that are being cultivated by human beings that have mixed consciousness, when those seeds are thrown onto the ground and into the furrows, what's the consciousness of the human being doing that action? Well, with this handful, it's a positive act consciousness, and with that handful, it's a negative consciousness. And that consciousness affects the seed.
But maybe the seed has its own choice.
The seed has its own potential.
Mm-hmm.
But the seed does not have free choice. It must grow. Or it must die. That's not a choice. Mm-hmm. Or it can stick mm-hmm. around for a few millennium and grow then.
When my seed does not produce, is that part of a cocoon of a soul that was reincarnated
yes.
into the vegetable or vegetation state? And it
yes.
maybe it didn't grow because it was the end of cocoon.
Correct.
It completed its cocoon, right?
That's one of the options. That's one of the reasons. It needed to be in the physical world, in that environment, in that, as a seed, for that instant. And then the physicality gets absorbed into the soil, the physicality of the seed gets absorbed into the soil, and the soul that's in that seed returns to where it's supposed to be.
I was looking at a tulip tree today. I think they're so beautiful. Here's this tree that's completely bare, not a leaf on it. And what does it do? In February, it grows these beautiful flowers that look like tulips. And when the flowers, and they're big flowers, and after the flowers fall, the leaves come. Which is the opposite of most plants. You get the green leaves, you know, before you get the flowers. Is that an example of restriction there in that particular plant?
What's your opinion?
I think it is.
the appearance of the tulips have to disappear before the leaves come out? Or do sometimes leaves and the tulips are still there?
I don't know. I'll have to look. I'll watch my little tree.
And I'm just asking a question because I'm not familiar with the tree. It's that particular species of tree at all.
Well, this is just my second year of having one. And I'll have to see if they're all gone before the leaves come, or if some fall and leaves start. I'll watch it and see this year.
Well, it could be a message to the human species. Don't play with the DNA. Don't take things out of order. Or it could be a message to say, take things out of order, but think it through and process it properly. As I said, I'm not familiar with the species, so I don't really understand it. If something's coming out above a bud that's coming out looks like a tulip, what's the purpose of looking like the tulip? Was it to attract the insects that pollinated it? Or is it really the fruit, like the tulip itself, is the end goal, and it came out first? And that doesn't make sense within the frame of the Kabbalah, because Malchut cannot come out before Zerapin.
I don't know too much about it. I just always thought it was a beautiful plant. And
I'm sure it is.
I'm going to look it up now and see.
Okay.
Find out what the scientific name is, either, you know, too, besides, you know, people in our region call it a tulip tree. Some of them are white, and some of them are a pink and a white. They're very beautiful. And especially at this time of the year, because it's still wintery looking, we're starting to get a few green leaves on the oak trees, and we're beginning to get some green grass. But, you know, it's like in between, spring is coming, but it's not here yet. And those tulip trees are just beautiful right now, you know, so.
Maybe the flower.
Is that the evergreen pear? We have a tree called evergreen pear that goes dormant in the winter. I don't know why they call it evergreen, but goes dormant in the winter, lost all its leaves. Right now it's blooming flowers. That seems to be every every one that I see is that particular tree.
It could be that the flower is the leaves, and the leaves are the flowers.
And the leaves are the effect of the flowers.
There are no leaves, it's just flowers.
Yes, but when those flowers disappear, what's left?
Well, when the flowers disappear, the leaves will come on. For some reason, it beds up the leaves.
Yeah, so what we're saying is that the tulip or the evergreen that you're describing, Bernice, both of those are the stage that announces spring, the stage that is the first step of that growth after the winter. That first stage is a new Keter. That first stage represents the bud that, like an orange tree, buds before the leaves come out. But it's a bud which is really like a bump on the branch. But eventually that bump grows into leaves and then into fruit. And in this case, the bump may look like a tulip, but it's not a tulip. It's a bud as part of the growth. It's one of the stages in the renewal of spring.
Do birds have anything to do with landscaping? A lot of landscaping happens with birds, things that are not planted, for instance, trees and flowers.
Absolutely. It doesn't take a human being to make a new tree grow. It takes a bird to pick at the fruit, open it up. The fruit fell off a tree. The fruit starts to decay. The birds start to pick it apart. And they take the seed, and then they move it to a different location, and they plant it. It doesn't take a human being to do the planting. It can be a natural process. That's how trees spread across the islands in the Pacific. That's how trees spread throughout the world.
Well, I thought so, because a landscaping suddenly appears in places where we've not planted it. And, plants, flowers, this and that, trees.
Right.
And they're just randomly planted. And I'm thinking, well, the birds, that's what the birds have been doing. But I wasn't really quite positive, but that's why I asked the question. Because so much landscaping does happen that way. And I think sometimes, why are we going to buy nursery plants in the nursery when all we had to do was let the birds do it? But anyway, also, we had some beautiful bluebells, beautiful bluebell bulbs, and all of a sudden they've been overtaken by paper whites, and we never planted the paper whites in that particular location, so I don't know whether the birds did that again or what, but
if you study any aspect of the GMO phenomena, genetically modified organisms, the first one that was utilized was within corn, because I believe it was corn. But they had a field of these genetically modified seeds, and then a mile away is another neighbor's farm that wasn't doing it. But 2 years later, they're finding these genetically modified plants in the neighbor's farm because the wind blew the seeds.
Really.
So, but we are a little bit over time tonight. So, is there any quick question?
Why are so many manufacturers resorting to GMO products now? If you don't start looking at labels, you really get the dose of that. Because even in candy, I've noticed they've started doing that, and that gives some cause for concern. You can no longer buy products that you trusted as being non-GMO. Suddenly, they become GMO. So, something we need to all be aware of, whether we have to scrutinize even all brands we trusted before as not being that way, as they're starting to come through. So I've been calling them and giving them my what for is about that, but I'm not getting any kind of response that I want to hear. I guess it all comes down to bottom line, but I'm not sure about that either. At any rate,
I don't have Bernice, I don't have the answer today, but we're out of time. So does anybody have any last questions they need to ask?
No, but I have a short comment. The tree that Hannah was talking about is part of the magnolia family. You know, the big white magnolia tree. It's a part of that family, and they are usually pink and white, or some of them are just plain white. But they aren't called they aren't called tulip trees. They're called magnolia tulips.
Really? I guess different areas have different trees that do that. In our area, we have the other one that I called supposed to be evergreen pear, but it doesn't stay evergreen in the winter.
I'm surprised that it's a magnolia, because when the leaves do come, they don't look anything like the magnolia.
No, it's a originally from Japan.
Really? From Japan?
I always knew there were a lot of Japanese in Louisiana. He says,
Chinese
neighbor, so.
Shavuoto.
Okay, Shavuoto. Interesting class. Thank you.
All right, Donna, thank you. Thank you, Hanuk.
Good night. Shalom.
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 Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.